Jerry Bader Show 1036. I want you to try to imagine something. I want you to think about modern liberalism as it exists today. I want you to think about Occupy Wall Street. I want you to think about the 99% railing against the 1%. I want you to think about the 99% believing government should level the playing field. Government should take action to take from the 1% and give to the 99%, because that's what that movement was all about. I want you to think about the debate over Obamacare, that people shouldn't bitch when their insurance costs more so others can cost less. You shouldn't complain about that. Because there are 40 million people out there with no insurance at all. And you should be really worried about them. And the government will help them get insurance. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about the government telling you what size soda you can drink. I want you to think about the government protecting you from this, that, and the other thing. Okay. I think in about a minute there, I pretty much summed up the modern state of liberalism, that the government takes care of you cradle to grave. Okay? Think about that. Now, I then want you to imagine, you might have to close your eyes to do this, I want you to imagine a Democratic candidate for president today saying, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. It seems more likely you would see dinosaurs roam the earth again than hear those words from a Democrat today, doesn't it? Doesn't it? You cannot imagine that. And also, from John Fitzgerald Kennedy's inaugural address, we'll pay any price, bear any burden to defend freedom. And he made it clear, let the message go out to friend and foe alike. What was he saying there? If you're part of the free world, the United States will protect you. If you are the Soviet Union and its satellites, watch out. That's exactly what that was. This, of course, is the week where we will mark the 50th anniversary of the assassination of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. And interestingly enough, on the 50th anniversary, just the way the calendar falls, this week lines up with that dark week in history. November 22nd is a Friday this year, just as it was when I was 2 years old in 1963. The calendar is exactly the same as it was back then. Now, you are going to see all sorts of TV specials about Camelot. You're going to see a lot of the assassination coverage. I want to use this week to tackle some myths. The one I want to tackle here, and I have a couple of pieces in front of me that do this, tackle the myth that he was a liberal. I want to start with a very brief piece by Larry Sabato. Larry Sabato is basically the political analyst, director of University of Virginia Center for Politics. It's his myth number two. JFK was a liberal president. This view is widely held today, both because Kennedy is now associated with the civil rights movement and because his legacy is lumped together with those of his late brothers, the much more liberal Bobby and Ted. The brothers followed Jack's moderate lead while he lived, but both became more openly progressive liberal later on. In reality, JFK was a cautious conservative chief executive, mindful of his 1964 re-election bid after the squeaker of 1960. He was fiscally conservative, careful about spending and deficits, and sponsored an across-the-board tax cut that became President Reagan's model for his 1981 tax cut. Gordon Krovitz, writing in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, actually on Sunday, but appeared in Monday's journal, spent a lot more time on this. 50 years after JFK's assassination, a surprising fact has been rediscovered. In his time, he was not considered a liberal. Understanding Kennedy as a political conservative may make liberals uncomfortable by crowning conservatism with a halo of Camelot, Ira Stoll writes in his new book, JFK Conservative, yet it can make conservatives uncomfortable, too. Many of them have long viscerally despised the entire Kennedy clan, especially JFK's younger brother, Ted. Mr. Stoll makes a strong case that in 1960, the anti-communist, anti-big government candidate was John F. Kennedy. The one touting government programs and higher salaries for public employees was Richard Nixon, he writes. JFK's false image as a government-loving peacenik was created partly because of the work of liberal historians, partly as a result of shifts in American partisanship. The best-selling biographies of the president after his death were by two of his more left-wing advisors, Ted Sorensen and Arthur Schlesinger Jr. And it points out the New York Times criticized, the New York Times criticized his inaugural address. That line, pay any price, bear any burden, let the word go out to friend and foe alike, that we will pay any price, bear any burden to defend freedom. New York Times columnist Tom Wicker disdained it as bellicose. Former Democratic aide and now just irritant Chris Matthews understood, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country, as a hard Republican-sounding slap at the welfare state. Then you had, after making tariff reduction his top legislative goal for 62, Kennedy announced in the most urgent task confronting Congress in 1963 was cutting marginal income tax rates, not an anti-poverty program or civil rights law. No. And in fact, he was very careful to avoid civil rights during the 1960 race as much as he possibly could, because he didn't want to tick off Southern Democrats, rabid racist Southern Democrats. Richard Nixon didn't have that problem. And not until late in the campaign, Martin Luther King Jr., Martin Luther King Sr., MLK Jr.'s father, wasn't supporting Kennedy, until Kennedy worked behind the scenes to get the younger Martin Luther King out of jail. That's when the tide turned. And he did it tacitly, almost back channel. But then King crowed about it. And he did get much more of the black vote than he would have been expected to. But that wasn't civil. He certainly did not run on civil rights in 1960. And his track record as a U.S. senator did not show him to be strong pro-civil rights. When he realized it was an idea whose time had come, actually borrowing from Everett Dirksen, who was borrowing from Victor Hugo during the civil rights debate, when he saw the moment coming, he realized he had to get on. But that was 62, 63. And he felt he could then navigate it in re-election. Think of that inaugural address. Again, a slap at the welfare state. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. We shall bear any burden, pay any price. Let the word go out to friend and foe alike. That's how the 60s started. Think of how they ended. In fact, his death, JFK's death, was the beginning of the radical far-left movement that overtook Democratic politics. He was, but even by his contemporary standards, he was barely left of center, if he was at all. By today's standards, he lines up far more with Ronald Reagan than any modern liberal. Not even close. On issue after issue after issue. And quite frankly, modern Republicans, for the most part, hold the same position on civil rights that JFK did. He never came out in favor of affirmative action. He never came out in favor of, like, liberal or conservative, hacked off? Liberal? No? Conservative? Neither. Got you doubled over in laughter. It has to be good. I hate when you do that. You can tell me about it during the break. And if it's worth sharing, I'll share it. But these are the realities. Now, in the Cuban Missile Crisis, there are those conservatives today who say he should have invaded Cuba. I argue any modern liberal today would have just let those missiles stay. Do you think Barack Obama would threaten anyone with thermonuclear war over anything? Of course not. Now, liberals can try to claim that he's one of their... He's not nearly as liberal as FDR was 20-some years, 30-some years earlier. Not even close. He was not a big government Democrat. He was strong on national defense. But here's now another imagine moment, another close your eyes and imagine moment. Do you realize that he ran to the hawkish right of Richard Nixon in 1960? He ran on a missile gap, which didn't really exist. But he pointed to Eisenhower and Nixon and said, they've let the Soviets get the lead here. We have a missile gap. We have to restore the credibility of the military of the United States. A Democrat! Go listen to those stump speeches sometime. Go do that. You will be shocked. By today's standards, JFK, where does he fit on the political spectrum today? He is to the right of John McCain. He is... He is to the right of Ron Johnson. They're pretty close. And quite frankly, he's pretty close to Ted Cruz. They feel the same way about minorities, trust me. And I know there are liberals listening right now who are spitting blood. Some of it's the same blood I have. Spitting blood at the notion that, Jason got that, at the notion that he was not a liberal. Go listen to the speeches. Speaking of speeches, the Gettysburg Address plus 150. I'll get to that in 3 minutes. It's 10:48. Kick it!
The Jerry Bader Show.